Well, hello there, and welcome to the AFA podcast, the official podcast of animationforadults.com. This is another interview special, where this time we spoke with Ricard Cusso and Elise Allen, the director and writer, respectively, of the new film, The Pout Pout Fish, which is released in America on the 20th of March. Let's get on with the interview. Hi, Ricard Cusso and Elise Allen. Welcome to the AFA podcast.
Thank you for having us.
We always like to start basically in the same place, which is with breaking in stories. And so in your case, Ricard, how did you get into animation?
Well, it's a long story. I mean, I grew up in Spain, in Barcelona, and I was really, always really loved acting and being on stage and that sort of thing. And I think from there, it led to one thing to another. And I got into live action directing, and I studied, I went to film school in Australia. And then the first job I got was in animation. And it seems like back in that time, it was like 15 years ago, animation was really starting to flourish up there in Brisbane, in Queensland, Australia. And I kind of stuck in there. So it kind of just happened to be, it's just telling stories in a different medium. But yeah, started as a live action and then just first job was animation and stayed there for forever.
Awesome. And Elise, how did you get started in writing?
A very similar kind of story. I studied theater in school and wanted to act. I had been writing since I was a kid, but thought, who makes a career in writing? Acting, acting, that's the easy way to make a career. And came out to Los Angeles the day after I graduated college, didn't know anybody, sent my resume everywhere, wound up answering the phones on a TV show, and just started seeing scripts from there. They were coming in and out of the office and realized, oh my gosh, this is something I could actually do and make a living doing. Started in live action, but my passion has always been, I've always loved kids' TV, grew up on The Muppets. First chance I got, I went and met with the people at Henson and wound up getting into animation through them and just absolutely loved it.
Now, any story that involves the Muppets is always a good one. So,
literally listened to the Muppet movie soundtrack nonstop when moving from the East Coast to the West Coast. Kind of felt like I was living that same reality.
Awesome. So, how did the Pout Pout Fish come your way?
My way specifically? Or your way?
Well, both, I guess.
Elise, you go first.
Sure. For me, it was through like a photon. I had worked with Nadine and Kristen before on another project and really, really liked them. And we had a great working relationship. So when they had this, when they were working with Simo over at MIMO, this Pout Pout Fish is actually the first book that MIMO optioned because they knew it would be a great story and so resonant for kids this age and families. So they met with Nadine and Kristen, who were able to mention me, and we all got together, and it was an absolute match from minute one, just chatting on the phone about this book and this story and all the ways to take it to screen. Just, we all got really excited about the potential.
Awesome. Ricard?
Well, very similarly as well through Like a Photon. So I've worked with them for many, many years. I've directed, I think Pow Pow is the sixth or seventh feature film that I've directed for them. And yeah, they told me about it. To be honest, I'll be completely honest, I didn't know about the book. But at that time, I was not a father yet. So it just had not come across my desk. But as soon as I saw the source material and I saw the first version of the script, I said, I think we can do something very special here. And I was honored to be asked to direct this film and the rest of the story.
So, how do you go about adapting a 32-page children's book into something, a story that's big enough for the cinema?
It's, for me, it's so exciting. It's actually something I do regularly. The last television show that I show ran was called Princess Power, that was based on the book Princesses Wear Pants. And so that was a very short picture book that had to develop not only into... Not, It wasn't a movie, it was a series. So it had to be 400 minutes of entertainment and figuring out these story arcs and bringing things to life and taking the core of what's on the page and expanding it. And if you look at the core of the Pout Pout Fish, it is about connection and love and finding yourself through connecting with others, which I thought was so resonant and relevant. And it was really just sitting with it and playing and getting deeper and deeper since we're going underwater and wider and populating this world and just always sticking with the core. Anytime I'm adapting somebody else's work, it's what is the core that I love and what's there, and then make more.
How did you decide how closely to stick to the book?
I mean, the book is there's I wanted to stick to the book in terms of there's little individual encounters along the way. So the movie has that same kind of feel, but we needed more. We needed a more epic story in order for this to work. It wasn't just about Mr. Fish, it was about Mr. Fish and bringing in a foil to Mr. Fish so that you had this engine that would carry you through. And that's what we have with Pip, where Mr. Fish has been kind of cowed by his experiences in the world and feels very isolated and alone. And he's just a pout pout fish with a pout pout face. And here's Pip, who's the total opposite, tons of energy and always sees the brightness of the world. So you take this, you set up this relationship where right away there's conflict and there's going to be humor coming out of how different they are. Give them a reason that they have to stay together and that the stakes are really high. And then it's expanding that adventure from there.
How did you develop the film's visual style? How closely did you decide to stick to the book's illustration, and how far did you go your own way?
We actually kind of really went our own way. We thought that, I mean, the book, the other book, it's beautiful and it works in that book format. But you know, as Elise is saying, like this is going to go to the big screens. This is going to go all over the world, and it needs to compete with, you know, the other animated films that are out there. And you know, one of the unfortunate things about animation is that it doesn't matter what your budget is, you're always going to be compared to what DreamWorks is doing, what Pixar is doing, what Disney's doing. So visually, we had to stay on that kind of same playing field, despite again not having, you know, that resources that those big studios have. So we decided, obviously, the first step that the artwork on the book is 2D. So we knew it was a 3D film. So already there, translating those characters into 3D was one of the biggest challenges. And but we wanted to take this as an opportunity to, okay, how can we push the style? Because we'd never done an underwater film before. So it's like, okay, what can we do here that will elevate the film and the story, and that will, you know, coexist beautifully on the screen? And so we obviously it's still a blue fish, and it still has a pow pow face. But we said, okay, what are the films that are currently working really well? And we wanted something that would allow us to express emotions beautifully, because you know, a fish doesn't really have arms or legs, you know, it's just a big ball with a face. So we wanted to give the animators the biggest set of tools that they could, you know, express all these emotions and really see the acting on the characters. So we went with these, you know, we took inspiration from The Bad Guys and Teenage Kraken and Luca, like all these new wave films in animation that are really going into stylized and not photorealistic. And that kind of is really what dictated the look of the film as we went through step by step.
What were the biggest influences on Pow Pow Fish? This can be for both of you, whether you're talking visuals or animation
Yeah,
or
I can take
writing.
that from a visual point of view. I mentioned The Bad Guys was really a great reference in terms of facial animation and how much they do with the face. Specifically the little piranha guy from The Bad Guys, that was like the base influence for how we wanted Mr. Fish to emote and how we wanted the eyes to look and the mouth to work. We really wanted to try this. Because Luca, which was also a big reference, they do this kind of very curvy mouth, which we've never done before, and it's a pain to rig. And the asset team was really furious at us because of like the complexity. But again, like the challenge was there, and they really excelled at getting that done. And we really got these beautiful mouth shapes. It's all curved. It really was looking great for the style that we were going for. And the eyes as well, we just wanted this kind of more flat, more 2D look to the eyes. Another big reference was the snail and the whale, which again have that very nice textured, almost like feels like you can grab those characters from the screen. And that's something we really wanted as well for this film. I just wanted to be the characters you want to be able to you know, grab, go up to the screen and grab them, and just they all have this kind of texture that it feels like very malleable. And it's something that it had worked really well for us in previous films like Scary Girl and so forth. So we really, I think that's one of the key things that we really inspired, that we wanted as a reference for the film.
And it was so exciting to see what you did with it, Ricard. Like, it's one thing to just imagine it on the page, and then to see all the different ways you brought it to life, like better than I could ever have imagined. It was
Thank you.
such a joy to see.
How did Nick Offerman become involved? Because everyone else is Australian, and then.
It was definitely, we knew that. I mean, this film is an international film, although Like a Photon was the producing company, and they're based in Australia, and Cosmic Dino Studio, who produced the animation, were based in Australia. It is, the story is a universal story, and we knew, being such a big market in the States, because the film, like the book, you know, it's a best New York Times best-selling book, and obviously was going to do a big splash in the States. So we needed a name that was attached to that. And the way it came across, we actually were doing the table, one of the very early table reads. And we were thinking about cast as like, well, who are we going to cast? And we kind of always envisioned Mr. Fish to have an American accent, to just be an American. And then pitting him with an Australian counterpart, which, you know, eventually becomes Nino Yama as Pip. And I think it was actually me. I said, oh, you know who would be really good? It'd be Nick Offerman, just, you know, because, you know, Parks and Rec. And he just has that persona that you can just see him with the power, right? You just picture Nick Offerman. And I mean, he was an incredible, and it was such an honor to work with him, and such a humble, down-to-earth human. And but he brought, I mean, he is Mr. Fish. Like, he really brought the character to life. And so yeah, Like a Photon worked their magic, and they managed to get him on board the project. And it seems like he really liked the source material and the script, and and we made it happen. So it was great to have someone like Nick in the film.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, and he gets to do construction when he's buying the planks. Like, Nick Offerman's doing construction. This is perfect.
What were the biggest challenges involved in making the movie?
I can speak from the, I guess, creative and the visual side of things. As I said, underwater is something we had not done before, and that was definitely a challenge. When you don't have the resources that the big studios have, it's like, how can we make underwater compelling? How can we make each location unique? And it all came down to, okay, how can we tell the story with these diverse characters and diverse sets and locations? And because, you know, you look at the underwater world is beautiful, but you know, it's all blue, everything's moving. You don't really see too far because of, like, you know, the depth of sea. So all those were challenges in terms of how do we replicate that. One of the key things that we, from very early on, what we said is like, we don't have the capacity to recreate real life. And it's not something we wanted to do anyway, because, you know, we were doing actually quite stylized approach. So we said, let's throw physics out of the window. We'll use them when we want to. If we need them for comedy effects, if we need a character to, you know, to sink, we need a character. We didn't want to have that burden, like that additional burden on top as we were doing the production of the film, of like, would this happen underwater? Would this be real? So we just said, let's service the story. Let's tell this story the best way we can that allows us for the comedy and the action. And we can just, the audience can just have fun watching the film. So kind of like SpongeBob, where there's really no rhyme or reason. Let's say everything's kind of like up for grabs. We did something like that. But from a technical point of view, as I said, like just trying to recreate a real biome, which is underwater, was quite a challenge. And we soon realized that all the kelp that we had around had to be moving. We needed to add all these dust, and we built this special technology for our pipeline where we allowed us to kind of regulate the depth or how much we see in the underwater, which is something that, again, that kind of imitates how underwater works. But we had that control of, like, the further along something is from the camera, it gets just more blurrier and more blue to give us that depth and that feel. So there was definitely plenty of challenges, and the character rigs, as I mentioned, were quite complex. There's, like, Mr. Fish alone has around 400 joints in his face, just so the animators can do what they do. But again, I think that everyone in the team really pulled their A game and managed to pull off something quite incredible with what we had. So yeah, really proud of how the film looks.
It looks great. What would you like for audiences to take away from the Pow Pow Fish?
Sure. I mean, for me, it is about finding connection, that you find connection and you find the show is about finding home in a lot of ways. Our three main characters are all facing the same dilemma. The movie basically posits what would have to happen for you to go off on this adventure to find your home. We've got Mr. Fish, we've got Pip, we've got Benji. All three of them are dealing with the impending loss of their home. And they go on this adventure and do everything they can to try to save it. And along the way, they think they're trying to find their physical home, but what they're really discovering is finding home is about connecting with others and about feeling comfortable with yourself through connection with others. It's something that I think in today's world, it's so easy to get wrapped up in your screens and everything else we're doing. Really leaning into that person-to-person connection, or in this case, fish-to-fish connection, is vital. And I think that's what all of these characters find. And what was really exciting, and to go back to your earlier question about the biggest challenge, that this was a very beautiful but very simple picture book that we had to expand into all these characters with complex needs and wants. And if you look at our three main characters, each one of them, you really understand their flaws and where they're coming from. You have Mr. Fish, who has been taught to kind of be afraid of other fish and that they're going to make fun of him because he has this pout pout face. And you've got Pip, who's got all these brothers and sisters coming, and she's so worried that she won't be noticed anymore. And even our so-called villain, Benji, he seems like a villain, but he is also just trying to save his home where he's lived forever. So they all have these three-dimensional wants and needs. And then they go off on this adventure, and the way that they find each other and connect with so many other fish and bring a whole community together. I think it's that kind of personal connection that I want kids, parents, people of all ages to come away with.
There are quite a few Pout Pout Fish books. Can you see there being further adventures on screen?
Absolutely.
I'd love to.
Let's do it. But yeah, no, this is it. We created a world which, and especially, my gosh, Ricard, seeing how you brought it to life. This is a world that is so rich, and there's so many different elements that they go through. Dolphin Cove alone could be its own movie show. I mean, it's an amazing environment. They go through so many different worlds just within this undersea world. So yes, I could see continuing adventures of Mr. Fish. We've set him up where he's going to have a very different life than when you started. Plus, we have a whole undersea world that is really fleshed out, and there's so much room for other adventures.
Well, they can do like 6 or 7 ice ages. I'm sure they can do more pout pout fish.
Definitely.
Can you say anything about what you're working on next? This is both of you. Anything else you're working on?
Well, I'm actually in a bit of a dream now where I don't have any film that I'm working on at the moment. While I was directing Pow Pow Fish, I was also directing a Christmas film called Mission Santa, which released a couple months ago in Europe, and it was quite tough to be directing both films at the same time. So now I'm taking a bit of a break and just kind of like searching what's next.
I think you earned it, so
Thank you.
yeah. This.
What I'm working on right now, it's called The Monty Pickle Show. It's a YouTube show. So YouTube at Monty Pickle Show. And it's a puppet. He is a kosher dill pickle puppet, and he's going through the world learning new things. And it's a bunch of short little bits, and it's been really fun. It's been an independent project that four of us have been getting off the ground and getting going.
I guess everything comes back to the Muppets
I mean, it really does. In fact, the woman who created it, Hallie Stanford, she is the first person I ever met at Henson. When I said, "Oh my gosh, I need to meet somebody at Henson," it was her. This was ages and ages and ages ago, and we're still working together on things.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. That's all our questions.
Oh, thank you for having us, Chris. It was great to talk about Pow Pow Fish, and yeah, can't wait for everyone to see it.
Yep. Congratulations on the movie.
Comes out soon, March 20th. Very
March
excited.
20th. Put down your calendars.
Yes. Thank you so much, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a really good conversation. Thanks for listening. And if you want to catch up with everything we're doing, visit us at animationforadults.com for the latest animation news, reviews, and stuff. On social media, you can find us on Twitter at AFA Blog. You can find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, Instagram, and more coming soon. If you'd like to help us out, you can visit us at patreon.com/animationforadults or make a donation via PayPal or buy us a virtual coffee. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for more.